You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
And yes, indeed it is. It is a very good morning. The sun is shining as I look out the studio window and see all the dust here in the studio. Just get round to sorting that out. It's a breakfast show. Lovely to be with you this morning. It is Wednesday, so what do we say? We say WTW, of course, don't we? Yes, welcome to Wednesday. And it is the 15th of March. Now, let's take a look, see if we've got anybody interesting with a birthday today. Yes, we do indeed, actually. We've got one for you here. This will get you going. John Vala was born on this day. The year was 1866. Now, he was a Norwegian inventor and a patent clerk. He has often erroneously been identified with the invention of the common paper clip, which of course is known to all office employees for more than 100 years. And no, I do not remember when they first came out. Come on, world. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
It's
there we go. Yes, that was CeeLo Green with Bright Lights and a Bigger City. And that came out, that was 2011 when he released that one. In fact, it was the fourth single off of CeeLo Green's third studio album, which is called The Lady Killer. And the single was released, say, March the 27th on 2011. Topped the charts in Israel, believe it or not, peaked at number 13 in the United Kingdom. And a remix of the track, which features a guest appearance from American rapper Wiz Khalifa, the song which is featured also, by the way, in the movie Monte Carlo. And it samples You Only Live Twice from the James Bond film of the same name. They like doing a lot of that these days, don't they? Oh, let's put a little bit of somebody else's record in. Then they say, oh, I know that. Was I really saying something? Of course I was. Going even further back in time, this is the Velvets, and was he really saying something?
It's better than coffee.
It's always party time, for heaven's sake, especially on this program. There we go. Gloria Estefan, of course, and You'll Be Mine, party time. Tell you what, we're doing pretty well this morning. We're becoming fairly accurate. We've been doing this for a little while now. We're just a few seconds away from 15 minutes, and that's after the hour of 7 o'clock on this morning's breakfast show here on 89.3 Cool FM. Don't forget, I'm going to be here keeping you occupied right through until 10 o'clock this morning. And I can tell you something else as well. We've got quite a bit of, well, it's quite a busy morning, actually. In fact, I feel like I want to lie down, and it's only 15 minutes past 7. It is time to do this. Time to get you in the shower and on your way to wherever it is that you're going to be going during the course of this morning. As I said, we're going to try and get you there in a good mood as well. Got a good one in the shower too. there we go. Yes, that one got you going for this morning, didn't it? Of course it did. Yes. Anyway, out of the shower you get. Come on, chop chop. And say, how we can have it. You smell nice. Congratulations. I like that soap. Time on the breakfast show. We're 21 and a half minutes right now. That's after the jab. 7 o'clock here on 89.3 Cool FM. Say, I'll be with you right through till 10 o'clock. Busy morning this morning. We've got guests. Well, it's Wednesday. What do we do on Wednesday at 8 o'clock when he's available? We chat, of course, to Andreas Clementi for movie review. He's got Creed 3 to look at today, and he'll no doubt be talking about the Oscars. They were all the buzz, weren't they? That's in the 8 o'clock hour. Last hour this morning, we're talking with Fernando Hine, VP of Marketing and Communication of BAC Bank. It's all to do with this, well, material they're going to be using for your credit cards, environmentally friendly. And it's, you know, to reduce the use of plastic and change it to a material of natural origin that can be industrially composted to generate positive environmental value. That's cool, isn't it? So we're going to be talking about that. Usual bits and pieces, of course. The bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at some of the international news headlines and what's happening in the business world. All this turmoil over the banks. Again, don't they learn anything? So we'll be looking at that. 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, we do take a look at some of the stories in the local news here in the Republic of Panama. And plenty of great music, of course, going right through until when? Until 10 o'clock. Pay attention. And let's say our good mornings. We've got a few bright and breezy this morning. Let's say good morning to Paul Dixon over there in the UK. Good morning to you, Paul. And let's say good morning to Renee and Rick over there in Athens and Greece. We're getting very international, aren't we? Mary Lou, of course, with us first thing in the morning. And also, let's say good morning to Ashley. He's dropped us a line. I'll get back to those a little bit later on this morning. And, well, say, great music. So I think, well, without further ado, let's get on with the music, shall we?
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Hard to look at pictures on the wall. Hard to pick the phone up when you call. Hardly talking anymore, 'cause a single word could start a war. But once upon a time we had it all. Who would have known the future wasn't for us? Fools, we got it wrong, thinking that we lead on love. But look at us now. Look at us. How can we hold it together when we're falling apart? Can put my finger on the weather while the high. How can we seek you forever when we're lost in the dark? You know it's getting me to say it out loud. Oh, look at us now. Two broken hearts on the ground.
Back to back we sleep on separate sides. Back and forth we slowly lose our minds. Back in another drive we feel like this goodbye could be for real. Oh, once upon a time, time was on our side. Who would have known the future wasn't for us? Ooh, we got it wrong, so wrong. How can we hold it together when we fought in a bar? Can't put my finger on the weather while the high. How can we stick to forever when we're lost in the dark? Your love is scared to make you say it out loud. Oh, look at us
wasn't for us. Ooh, oops, we got it wrong, thinking that we lead on love. But look at us now, two broken hearts on the ground.
Isn't that lovely? That is Celine Dion there, and that was Look At Us Now. And that came off of her album, which was called Courage, which she released back in 2019. Great album, by the way. Got that. And you can see she's a lot of reflection in that album as well. And let me see, that's it. Oh, I'll tell you what, just about then she had a Las Vegas residency. And in June of 2019, she finished that, and that she went off and released Flying On My Own as a gift to her fans. In September 2019, she also embarked on the world tour, promoting the album, and premiered three more new songs. And that was Imperfections, Lying Down, and Courage. What a great lady. Time on The Breakfast Show, I tell you what. It's time to do this, and then we'll come back and look at some of the international news and business.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Have you ever seen Panama from a castle in the mountains of Chicá? Take a deep breath and relax at El Castillo de Kevin, just 1 hour and 40 minutes from the city. You can sleep over or just stay during the day. Enjoy the swimming pool, at the barbecue, with the whole family or friends. Just call 6579-4281. That's 6579-4281 to make your reservation. You'll be surprised. By the way, did you get back from your vacations okay? Was it you that had that car that didn't stop making that noise? Well, now Vale Motors in the City of Knowledge, they'll fix that, and with your maintenance, they'll give you free alignment. Make your appointment now with the best mechanical workshop in Clayton. Write to them on 6431 0419. And Valley Motors, they've got a passion for cars. For your car.
Valley Motors.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
Absolutely. Time on The Breakfast Show, a few seconds after 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. Moscow told Washington on Wednesday to keep well away from its airspace after a U.S. drone intercepted by Russian jets crashed into the Black Sea, the first known direct confrontation between the superpowers since Russia invaded Ukraine. The U.S. military said that the incident was caused by a mid-air collision after two Russian Su-27 fighter planes approached one of its MQ-9 Reaper drones on a reconnaissance mission over international waters. Honduran President Xiomara Castro said on Tuesday that she had asked the country's foreign minister to open official relations with China, pressurizing Taiwan ahead of a sensitive visit by President Tsai Ing-wen to the United States and Central America. China does not allow countries with which it has diplomatic relations to maintain official ties with Taiwan, which it claims as its own territory, with no right to state-to-state ties, a position Taiwan strongly disputes. Russian President Vladimir Putin said that Germany's response to the explosion on the North Sea pipelines showed that the country remained occupied and unable to act independently decades after its surrender at the end of World War II. Putin, interviewed on Russian television, also said that European leaders had been browbeaten into losing their sense of sovereignty and independence. The Soviet Union at one point withdrew its forces and ended what amounted to an occupation of the country. But that, as is well known, was not the case with the Americans. They continue to occupy Germany. Pakistani security forces withdrew from around Imran Khan's home on Wednesday, putting a halt to clashes that had erupted after police tried to arrest the former prime minister for not showing up in a case against him which is related to selling state gifts. And Iran's Supreme National Security Council Secretary Ali Shamkhani will visit the United Arab Emirates on Thursday. Noor News, which is affiliated with the Iranian top security body, has reported. His visit to Abu Dhabi comes at a time of growing rapprochement between Iran and Gulf countries. Last week, Shamkhani took part in talks that were brokered by China that resulted in Saudi Arabia and Iran resuming diplomatic ties after they were suspended back in 2016. The US on Tuesday said that it had issued an arrest warrant and began a manhunt for Roy McGrath, the former top aide to an ex-Maryland governor, for not appearing in court to face charges of wire fraud and falsification of records. In June of 2020, McGrath was appointed chief of staff to former Republican Maryland governor Larry Hogan, who served from 2015 to 2023. McGrath left the role later that year, and that's 2020, and was charged in 2021. Now, the SVB Financial Group said on Tuesday that Goldman Sachs Inc. was the acquirer of a bond portfolio on which it booked a $1.8 billion loss, a transaction that set in motion the failure of SVB. The loss of the portfolio was the reason SVB, a technology-focused lender known as Silicon Valley Bank, attempted a $2.25 billion stock sale last week using Goldman Sachs as an advisor. The capital raise was thwarted as depositors fled and investors fretted SVB would have needed even more capital. And Europe's bank stocks came under pressure again on Wednesday, with Credit Suisse tumbling to a new low as investors continued to worry about stresses within the sector following Silicon Valley Bank's collapse. Regulators and financial executives around the world have sought to assure that contagion concerns after tech-focused lender SVB and another US bank failed last week. But worries persist about the health of smaller institutions in particular. European Central Bank policymakers are leaning towards a half percentage point rate hike on Thursday. As the banking sector turmoil is dissipating, the Eurozone economy is picking up strength and inflation is set to remain too high for years. Renewed unease gripped world markets on Wednesday as news that Credit Suisse's largest investor said that it could not provide the Swiss bank with more financial assistance sent its shares and broader European shares sliding once more. Signs of calm and stability in banking stocks that have tanked in the past week following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank soon paved way for renewed selling as Credit Suisse shares fell to fresh record lows. European shares were last down almost 2%. European bank stock tumbled 2.5%, and US stock futures, they fell 1%. Investors rushed back into safe havens, with two-year German bond yields down 21 basis points to at 2.71%. MSCI's broadest index of Asia-Pacific shares outside of Japan rose 0.9%, having slid 1.7% on Tuesday. Japan's Nikkei index was flat, while an index of Japanese banks, which has slid 8% this week, jumped over 3%. But US equity futures fell sharply as European banking stocks tumbled in an ominous sign for the Wall Street opening today. Oil extended losses on Wednesday as unease over Credit Suisse spooked world markets, offsetting hopes of a Chinese oil demand recovery. Brent crude fell $1.44, $1.44 or 1.9% to $76.01 a barrel. That was by 1100 hours GMT. U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude futures WTI were down 33 cents or 0.5% at $71 exactly. Now, OpenAI, this is becoming the big thing, isn't it, with GPT. This is, the startup, OpenAI. They said on Tuesday that it's beginning to release a powerful artificial intelligence model now known as GPT-4. Setting the stage for human-like technology to proliferate and more competition between its backer Microsoft Corporation and Alphabet Inc.'s Google. OpenAI, which created the chatbot sensation ChatGPT, said in a blog post that its latest technology is multimodal, meaning images as well as text prompts, can spur it to generate content. The text input featured, though a feature, will be available to ChatGPT Plus subscribers and to software developers, with a waitlist, while the image input ability remains a preview of its research. There we go. That's it. Oh. Soon they'll be taking over the breakfast show, won't they? Oh. None of that. Anyway, that's it. There's our look for this morning. That's some of the items that are in the international news and in the international business news for today.
With Jerry D.
Midnight hour.
And there we go. Crown Heights Affair was the first of those two, and you gave me love, and followed on there, that was the Daryl Hall together with John Oates and Wait for Me. Time on the Breakfast Show. We are making our way to 15 minutes before 8 o'clock. Got a few requests to get through this morning. We're going to start off over there in Greece, Athens in Greece, with Renee and Rick. And Renee says, "Good morning, happy Wednesday." If you have time for two in a row. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, it's, you know, whose program is it? Of course we can do that for you. Starting off with the first one, which is When I Come Around from Green Day, and then we'll go into 1979 from Smashing Pumpkins.
Around.
there we go, two in a row. That's for Renee and Rick over there in Athens in Greece. And there we go, that's the last one of those two, Smashing Pumpkins and 1979, which is also Lucy said, good morning. She said, that's a good choice for two in a row. We've also got a request in from Mary Lou. She asked if you could please play, this is Pesmo, from Thanos Petrelis. Well, tell you what, it sounds all Greek to me. Probably is. Is Greek, apparently. So, also in Greece, we have Thanos Petrelis, and that's from Mary Lou this morning. And, right, I'll tell you what, let's try and squeeze a couple more in before we get to the top of the hour. It's a request from Ashley this morning. Good morning, Jerry, Yasmin, all your faithful listeners worldwide. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Since today is my son-in-law's 40th birthday, could you play a request from my family to him? That's Alex, Vim, Kika, Rohan, and, of course, our dog, Han Solo. I love the name of the dog. He asked if we could play this one. Apparently, his favourite.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right, because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide, because you're mine, I walk the line.
And there we go, that's from Alex and Family. And that's going out to Birthday Boy today.
I keep my eyes.
My son-in-law's 40th birthday. You know he didn't give us his name. Well, yes, you did, because, well, no, he didn't. He didn't give us his name. Just realize that. Anyway, also got here a request from his two-year-old cutie daughter, Karina. Yes, in course, Elvis Presley's Jailhouse Rock. And, well, that's brought us to the top of the hour.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Have you ever seen Panama from a castle in the mountains of Chicá? Take a deep breath and relax at El Castillo de Kevin, just 1 hour and 40 minutes from the city. You can sleep over or just stay during the day. Enjoy the swimming pool, at the barbecue, with the whole family or friends. Just call 6579-4281. That's 6579-4281 to make your reservation. You'll be surprised. By the way, did you get back from your vacations okay? Was it you that had that car that didn't stop making that noise? Well, now at Valet Motors in the City of Knowledge, they'll fix that, and with your maintenance, they'll give you free alignment. Make your appointment now with the best mechanical workshop in Clayton. Write to them on 6431 0419. At Valet Motors, they've got a passion for cars, for your car.
Valet Motors. We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
Tracks you remember. It's Jerry D and The Breakfast Show.
Every hour, every day I'm learning more. The more I learn, the less I know about people. The less I know, the more I want to look around. Digging deep for clues on high ground. The moon and stars, it will fragrant love, the cooler night will be me. On the wing, a bird flies deep, the valley contains and we see. The flower waits for honeybee, the sunrise waits for light in me. Every hour, every day, I'm learning more. The more I learn, the less I know.
Two great tracks. I tell you what, that first one, if you noticed, probably, but it was the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra with Dancing in the Street. I love it when they get these symphony or philharmonic orchestras to sort of remake these hits. Brilliant. And after that, well, Higher Ground from UB40, which I guess in a way is really quite apt. Higher Ground.
Good morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Well, I'm here. I'm finally. I am on top of the world. I am never going to be this high up again unless I'm in an airplane. And I'm not in an airplane, but boy, if I spit, I imagine I could kill someone down below. Wow, if you haven't guessed where I am on top of the world. I'm looking out at one of the largest fountains in the world. I can't wait for sunset to come because right now, I'm about an hour before sunset, and you guys have just had sunrise, so you can tell I'm about 9 hours away, so I'm helping you, giving you some more clues. This place is enormous. The buildings are all skyscrapers. I can see for miles and miles. Yes, I can. I can see for miles. I can see the sea. I can tell you. And I can tell you that I am higher than the helicopter just flew by. Woohoo! So, yeah. Yeah, I decided to go ahead and spring for the extra buck or two because I wanted to be inside to do my report. Because the one thing that's going to happen is once I get outside and start taking pictures out there, I can only imagine how loud the wind is going to be. I can really just, I saw this one, I guess it's one guy's entire estate, and it takes up like 2-3 city blocks, has a ton of green grass, has a horse track around it. I was like, wow, in this weather, how does he keep that going? I can see sailboats out there on the sea. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. I can see the islands of the world out there. I haven't seen the Palm Islands. Oh, yes, there is. I can see the Palm Islands right there. If I haven't given it away by now, I don't know what else is left. Tomorrow I'm going on a day tour. I'll be 8 hours out and about. I'll be taking pictures and seeing all kinds of things so I can tell you all about it. By the time I finish, you guys will just be starting your day. So I'm hoping and wishing you all a wonderful day from right here on top of the world. Ha-ha! I feel kind of like, what's his name from the Titanic? I'm king of the world! Well, Ingrid is queen of the world! Woo-hoo! All right, and back to you in the studio!
I know you deceive me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. think that I don't know about the little tricks you play. And never see you when deliberately you put things in my way. Well, here's a poke at you. You're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile. Because all the while, I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh yeah.
You took advantage of my trust in you when I was so far away. I saw you holding lots of other guys, and now you've got the nerve to say that you still want me. Well, that says maybe, but you gotta stand trial. Because all the while, I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles.
Oh, yeah.
Deceive me now, here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. And miles.
Oh yeah.
Eiffel Tower in the Taj Mahal, nice to see on clear days. You thought that I would need a crystal ball to see right through the haze. Well, there's a poke at you, you're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile, because all the while, I can see for miles and miles. I can see for miles and miles.
There goes the Who, and I can see for miles. And that's exactly what Ingrid was doing, looking for miles and miles and miles. Well, from the top of the world, it can only be downhill from now on, really, can't it?
How dare you?
I'm sorry, I thought you were busy. You're on the phone.
You know who I'm talking with?
Who?
A lovely person called Christina.
You know...
What are you going to say now? Please.
Hang on. You're sitting in here, and yes. You're texting the woman in the other room.
Yes. This is how we communicate nowadays, Jerry.
I'm so glad I'm old.
You're not old, Jerry. You're just grumpy.
It comes automatically. How you been? You weren't with us last week.
I wasn't. I had a work emergency.
Oh,
I was getting audited. I had to be there.
Is that right? It was the audit time.
Yeah, but no, not tax wise. It was they were auditing my company for a security certificate, for a certification.
And you actually got it?
It was the first one. We need to do two of them.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
And this is for what exactly?
For the e-billing business.
E-billing?
Yeah, my company is one of the PACs, the facturación electrónica companies in Panama,
okay.
Certified.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, thank you very much.
And just
okay.
Saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little free plug there.
Uh-huh. No? What's the name of the company?
Satcom La, papa. Here we go. Satcom La.
That sounds like a suppository.
No, it's SATCOM, as in SAT, as in satellite,
com,
as in communications.
Sitcom.
No, no, SATCOM.
Nothing came of that, did it?
L.A.
So you decided to call your company SATCOM.
You know, when the last time you wrote to me, you asked me about the sitcom thing, I wrote the guy, and I was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, almost done, man. I'm sorry the delay. I will let you know it's looking fantastic. That's what he said.
In other words.
It's gonna take a year more.
We'll call you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna be it's funny that business that you film something in. I filmed that, I think, in May last year. And if it actually happens, it's gonna be more than a year after that.
That's pretty quick, really, isn't it?
You think so? Like it people change. Like you've had children.
You've aged a lot in a year. Oh, absolutely.
Like, I look at least 62 at this point.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
So anyway, you had a good. Now, obviously, what do you think of the Oscars, by the way?
They were very tame.
In what way?
Let's be honest. After last year,
Nobody slapped anybody, did they?
You know, I wanted a fight. I wanted more. It's become the thing now. I wanted more jokes about it.
I thought, to be honest with you, the guy who was presenting was crap.
You were not a fan of Jimmy.
No, I was not. I mean, okay. Come on. It was flat.
I think he was surprised that Tom Cruise did not arrive.
Was he supposed to?
Yeah. He's been lauded as the savior of Hollywood and the movie theaters. Like, he's been...
What awards did they get, by the way?
Top Gun?
You were going on about it for being the movie...
It was the funnest movie, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't good, was it?
Top Gun?
No, it was a normal one. It was just like the first one. A lot of airplanes flying around.
Wow,
fast.
That is a hot take. Like that and Bohemian Rhapsody being amazing is your hardest takes.
What was the difference between the first and the second one? See, exactly.
Listen, the amount of differences between the first and the second one is outstanding. Like, acting is better. The storylines are just, there's a lot more heart in the second one. The plane stunts are just. A million times better.
It's called CGI. You know that, don't you?
You know, that's the thing. It's not. They actually
flew
the planes.
Why did they show you? They were watching a day and they were showing the guy flying his jet and all the sky was green. Everything behind him was green and he was there in his jet.
Obviously they used CGI, they flew jets. They did a lot of stunts for that one.
They make movies about commercial aircraft as well, and they use them.
If there's something you should not do, is blasphemy about Tom Cruise not doing stunts. Like, the guy risks his life for movies.
They didn't even get the best award for a short.
It was not a short. It was a film. Oh, how dare you! But anyways, that was kind of surprising. There's a lot of conversations behind Tom Cruise not arriving at the Oscars after him. Pushing a lot for saving the movie industry.
Is there a reason why he didn't turn up? I mean,
I'm pretty sure there is.
Was he being audited? Or?
No, I think probably, but I think he has a lot to do with it that he's not willing to take jokes about his religion.
I'm upsetting people. Felipe says, "Dear Jerry, Top Gun number one was a romantic movie. Yeah, the first one was a romantic movie."
Yeah, nobody wants to see that. Who wants to see Tom Cruise and
Kelly McGinnis?
Well,
you're going on and on about Top Gun, and you're degrading the first one.
The first one is not... Like, if you watch the first one now, it's not aged beautifully as a film.
Yes, yeah, but how old were we when we watched it originally? Was it 20 years ago?
1980...
Well, 40 years ago. 40 years ago. You know, technology's changed a bit then. And he says Top Gun number two was an action movie. Okay, I'll give him that. It was good action. It was a good movie, but certainly not an Oscar winner.
I gotta be honest, I disagree. I think the Oscars need more movies like that to get nominated.
If you want to make a good movie and you want to get an Oscar, then really what you should do is make one about Queen or something like that.
About the Queen one more? About Queen Elizabeth? We haven't made enough content about Queen Elizabeth.
Don't you say things about Queen Elizabeth.
I'm just asking. Is there a limit? Is there a limit of Queen Elizabeth content out there?
Where's the Queen? No, I'm talking about the movie.
You know what we need? We need more Harry the Prince bitching about how hard his life was.
Right, Creed 3.
Oh, I have an older brother that likes to beat me. Yes, so is the rest of the world. Move on. Jesus Christ, complain.
Creed 3.
Creed 3, let's go. I'm gonna get a talking to after this. Directed by Michael B. Jordan, making his directorial debut.
Was he playing basketball or something?
No, that's why the B's there. Oh. This is the actor, Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, wait.
Not Michael Jordan.
Oh, is it because he makes B movies?
No. Okay. He's made quality films, and this being one of them.
If you say so.
I'm just saying. Are you not a fan of the Rocky franchise?
No, I've never watched one of them.
Yes, you have. You told me last time you had.
I have not watched one of them.
The Russian one. You saw the Russian one.
No.
That he defeats.
I have not watched one Rocky movie. I like the music.
Oh, God.
Did they get an Oscar for the music from the Rocky
movie? He got an Oscar for the script of the first one.
Really?
He wrote the first one, yeah.
The script, which is... Sylvester Stallone. With Sylvester Stallone.
He wrote that movie and made it and got an Oscar, yes.
Good for him.
Yeah, I'm saying. And he got nominated for...
But I haven't watched it.
And he got nominated for acting for Creed as well. Just saying.
He was in that as well?
In the first one and the second one. Not in this one. Not in this
okay.
one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, starring Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors. Okay. And give us the plot, Jerry.
Adonis has been thriving in both his career and family life, but when a childhood friend and former boxing prodigy resurfaces, the face-off is more than just a fight.
What did you name him? How did you pronounce the name?
Adonis.
Oh yeah, Adonis. There you go.
It's Greek.
Yeah. Adonis.
Yeah, we have Greek.
You have to have some sort of security in yourself to call your child Adonis. I gotta be honest. The level of self-security is amazing. Positives. Another great performance by Jonathan Majors, showing off his range as an actor. I'm telling you, Jonathan Majors, and book this, okay? Book mm-hmm, this, everybody
mm-hmm,
listening.
Mm-hmm.
He will be at the Oscars next year as a nominated actor.
For what?
Not sure yet.
Oh, okay. He hasn't made the movie yet, but he's going to be nominated.
He's going to go. He is that good of an actor. I'm telling you, this guy.
What else has he been in?
He was in Ant-Man, Quantumania. He did a movie about Second World War recently that was fantastic as well. I don't remember the name, but it did not do great at the box office. It's really good. It's underappreciated. He did the show Loki for Disney Plus. Like, he's doing a movie right now about bodybuilding. Like, he is a guy with a lot of range and a lot of presence. You know, he reminds me a little bit about of Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington, mm-hmm. when you watch him on screen, he had this presence that you could not look away. Jonathan Majors has that. Mm-hmm. So I'm keeping an eye on him.
Okay.
More realistic boxing matches than classic Rocky films. If you go back and watch Rocky movies, the amount of hits these guys supposedly take would probably decapitate somebody. It was just a beating of human beings, that it's not real boxing.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch a real boxing match, there isn't a lot of actually landing punches. There's a lot of strategy behind boxing.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, there's still obviously a lot of hitting, because you still want to make it fun or funner than an actual boxing match, but it's much more realistic than Rocky film.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that. Great arc continuation for Adonis Creed's storyline. We started Creed when he was a rejection from his father, from an illicit relationship, building himself up into a boxing contender with Rocky, getting involved with his wife. At that point, it wasn't like it's the story has been growing, and his storyline has been growing really nicely. I'm a fan of how the story is going and how it is evolving. I think it's well done. Tessa Thompson is not another wet blanket girlfriend character, which is key, because Adrian was the past female lead of the Rocky films. Had always that wet blanket character trait, that she's just complaining about Rocky not fighting anymore, don't fight, oh, please don't fight, please don't fight. Like, when you're watching a movie about boxing, it is annoying to watch a character telling the main character not to fight.
Mm-hmm.
The classic wet blanket girlfriend syndrome. Tessa Thompson, her character, Bianca, does not have that. She is all about, hey, you want to prove it? Go fight him. Shut him up. She's very supportive of his boxing husband, and I enjoyed that. Different cinematography, much brighter and in your face. Rocky films, including Creed, was much darker, was much more bare bones Philadelphia. This movie, based in LA, is much brighter, much glossier. Obviously, Adonis now is is a rich man of his boxing career, so everything's a lot more glitzy, which is good, goes with the story. I enjoyed it. Duke, who is the trainer, is full of amazing one-liners, has one of the best lines of dialogue I've heard, and is the following. He gets into a fight with Jonathan Majors, the antagonist of the film, and Duke says to him, he's telling you who he is, believe him. I love that. I love that line. I'm a huge fan of that line. I know you're looking at me funny, but it's a great line.
Perhaps in context.
I guess so. I guess you need a little bit of context, but at the moment, the person I was watching it with, my cousin, turned to me and was like, that was an amazing line. I was like, yeah, that was a great line. It's a great line. Great delivery.
I think one of the best one-liners is when George Michael said, ladies and gentlemen, Elton John.
That's...
That was from the concert.
I know.
One of the best intros I've ever heard.
There you go.
Negatives.
No Rocky in the Rocky franchise, which is weird. No, the first Rocky movie that does not feature Rocky in any form. Not even mentioned.
He can't live forever, you know.
Which is funny, because after the last one, he said he was not going to do it again. And when he was not cast in this one, he complained. And I was like, wait, but you said you didn't want to do it anymore. But he wasn't in it, and he wasn't mentioned, which is, again, pretty weird. Not the most memorable training montage. For anybody out there who's seen a Rocky movie, it's all about the training montage.
Mm-hmm.
You got to watch it. You got to see them getting better. Nothing more like the classic Rocky III montage of Apollo Creed and Rocky running through the beach in a weird way. It's always a classic in slow-mo. In this one, I kind of missed it. It was done. We did get it, but it wasn't memorable.
Mm-hmm.
A time jump in the middle of the film that it's hard to follow. In the middle of the film, after Jonathan Majors comes back and wins his first match,
mm-hmm.
It seems in the movie that he had like 30 other matches to become a rich man as well. But they gloss over that really quickly to the point that suddenly he is in a super nicer apartment with a super hot girlfriend and like awards on the back. And you're like, wait, when did 5 or 2 years happen? Like, when did 2 years happen and I didn't notice? That was weird. I wonder what the future holds for Michael B. Jordan's career. And I put this as a negative because watching these two actors go head to head, you can see the difference in talent. I'm sorry to say, Jonathan Majors is, as I mentioned, an incredibly talented actor. Michael B. Jordan is a good-looking cat that can act.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
The level of mastery of the craft, there is a difference. And I wonder if Michael B. Jordan notices that and will take a lane like Tom Cruise did. At some point, Tom Cruise stopped trying to win an Oscar. He was like, you know what? I'm going to make super fun action films for audience members. That's who I'm going to be. I'm going to do crazy stunts. And my movies are going to make a lot of money, and people are going to go to watch it. That's going to be my career. Done and done.
Was that why this one didn't get an Oscar?
Which one?
The
Top Gun?
Hmm.
Well, it got nominated. I'm pretty sure he was not planning on getting nominated for Best Picture for Top Gun. But anyways, I think Michael B. Jordan might, in my opinion, go that route. I'm going to make some romantic movies. I'm going to make some action movies. I'm going to make some Creed, some franchises. And I'm going to try to do that. Probably he's not going to do that. Everybody wants to try to go for an Oscar. That's probably the main objective of any actor. But I don't know if he has the talent for it.
Okay.
To be honest.
Rush. There we go. I was busy looking, saying, I'm trying to get my driving license sorted out. And it's
your really driving life?
My driving license sorted out. It's very difficult. Anyway, what have we got on final comments?
Final comments on the Rocky, on the Creed 3 movie. Here we go. Here we go. Final comments. Creed 3 adds another fun story to the franchise, proving once again that audiences don't grow tired of this almost 50-year-old franchise.
Mm-hmm.
This franchise is almost 50 years old, Jerry, and people keep going to the theaters to watch it. That's amazing. The trick in this magic potion is having a great antagonist, and Jonathan Majors playing Damien is probably the best man for the job. I'm a huge fan, man.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is fine, I got, but I'm a huge fan of Jonathan Majors. I've bought massive stock on his acting career. I think he's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
And right now he got a big role. He's going to be the big baddie of the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe next.
Like, right.
He's doing the independent stuff. He's doing the big franchises. He has a nice little career carved
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. And he seems to have a good hit on his shoulders. So, let's see how it goes.
All right.
Yeah?
So, anyway, what else? You've seen that movie, All Things Everywhere.
Everything Everywhere All at Once, yes.
7 Oscars.
Yeah.
Deserve
I think
it?
A record, actually.
Deserve it?
I
mean, definitely I would have thought the guy got it for editing. Well, I mean, imagine the editing.
Yeah,
that was a real...
That was easy in my pool. Oh, this is an amazing story because they made this through COVID, during COVID times.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, a lot of the visual effects was not done by big, big corporations. It was done by the directors themselves and their friends
mm-hmm.
that had to learn on the job. And you watch the special effects and they're really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this movie was on a super small budget because, again, it was COVID, so they couldn't hire a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a lot of money, much more than expected. So this is a huge, huge success for everybody involved. The studio that made it, the directors, the actors, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the Oscars, I think the supporting actor was super well deserved. I think he was amazing, and I love the story of his comeback. Michelle Yeoh was great. Personally, I loved Cate Blanchett's performance in Tar. I
mm-hmm.
think that was my favorite movie of the year. But I also understand that Michelle Yeoh will probably not be there again. And Cate Blanchett will.
Because mm-hmm.
Cate Blanchett mm-hmm. is regarded, and I think people are right, she's going to be the next Meryl Streep. So she's
well,
probably going to be
why
back.
Why would they take that into consideration when giving somebody a award? Either you're the best actress or you're not the best actress.
Understandable, but it's still a subjective award. There's no qualification that would make a performance better than the other one. So the storyline of the getting there
mm-hmm.
has weight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
It has weight. There's no way it can't. Brendan Fraser, for example, I wonder if Brendan Fraser would have stayed as relevant as he was in the 90s if he would have won for The Whale. By the way, super well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
But the storyline and the journey to get there has weight. So Michelle Yeoh, I think Cate Blanchett personally had a better performance. That's a personal taste. Jamie Lee Curtis, interesting. Jamie Lee Curtis, I would have given it to Angela Bassett. I think Angela Bassett carried that movie, the Wakanda Forever, Black Panther Wakanda Forever film.
Mm-hmm.
Angela Bassett should have won it when she played Tina Turner. I think she was robbed on that one.
Well, perhaps she's got a chance of being there in the future, but Jamie Lee Curtis doesn't. It's the same argument.
Interesting. No, because they're both the same age. They're both playing supporting characters at this point. They're never leads. Like, Angela Bassett doesn't do a lot of lead performances anymore. Jamie Lee Curtis doesn't either, so it's going to be hard for both of them to get back there. The director is super well-deserved. Again, how they made that film and mm-hmm. how good it is, it's super well-deserved. The writing as well, like, original screenplay, like, how original can you get? Again, I think the only one that I question, the only two I question, and with a grain of salt, it's not that they're not deserving
mm-hmm.
of it, but I would have given to other people, were supporting actress and lead actress. But other than that, man, it's a movie that's not for everybody.
I mean, you've seen it.
It's a super specific movie for a super specific demographic. I don't think anybody over the age of mm-hmm. 40, 45 is going to enjoy this movie. I'll mm-hmm. tell you that. Mm-hmm. Or not enjoy it that much as younger people younger people did. And I'm on the line on it, by the way. Mm-hmm. I love the third act of that movie, but the first act is kind of slow. It's hard to follow. Like, you really got to pay attention and love movies to enjoy this film, mm-hmm. in my mm-hmm. opinion. But hey, it was a very heartfelt Oscars. I teared up when the actor Ki Hui Kwan, I think is pronounced,
mm-hmm.
Won the Oscar and made his beautiful speech about his comeback and about his journey. I teared up when Brendan Fraser came up and gave a speech. Like, that's what the Oscar is about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all new winners, by the way, which is also amazing. All winners on the acting categories had never won before, which is always mm-hmm. super fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed that.
Because what did Elvis get in the end?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I am super happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was sort of, I saw him being interviewed, and he was sort of like...
He still
yeah.
has the Elvis thing.
Yeah, he still, but also he sort of thought he was sort of quite... entitled in a way to get an Oscar for it.
Interestingly enough, if you look at his he is the actor that took the most advantage of his Oscar nomination. Like, he has carved up roles in the next year or so that are big roles. Like, he's has a role in the new show on Apple TV that's from the people that made Band of Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He has big franchise roles for action movies. Like, He really took advantage of the Oscar nomination, which is the point. Like, if you are going to get the nominated actor thing,
mm-hmm.
talk to your agent and get out there and get some work. And he did that. So mm-hmm. good for him. I really think he changes up his whole, like, ex-Elvis draw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get back to your normal voice, because it's tiring right now. Imagine if he keeps doing it, especially if he... Imagine if his next role, he's still talking like Elvis. It would be like, what are you doing, man? Get out of it. But there you go.
Okay.
I think...
After now we've had the Oscars, that means we're going to have a lull in new stuff coming out?
No. Right now what happens is this summer season. So what we're going to get right now are huge blockbusters. Like, we got Creed 3. We're getting Shazam this week, which is a big blockbuster movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting the Nike movie that looks fantastic, which is... the story of how they signed Michael Jordan to Nike mm-hmm. and made Air Jordan. Mm-hmm. That's coming in March. Like, there's big movies coming up. I think it's going to be fun. The question is, will people go to movie theaters to watch it? And that's the issue. I think not. I think the middle range movie, the movie we used to love, like The Firm and Moneyball and those kind of movies, mm-hmm. are going to be mm-hmm. hard to get that money done, man. It's going to be... far and off between. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see a lot less content as well. A lot of streaming services, including Netflix, have been very vocal about the fact that they're going to reduce the amount of content they put out and they create, because they're all losing money, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're spending billions of dollars in content and they're not seeing that revenue back in subscribers. So you got to focus on quality, not quantity, mm-hmm. which was differently a year ago, 2 years ago. So we're going to see a lot less content probably. And we're gonna get some interesting movies on streaming. I don't think we're gonna get the classic blockbusters though in movie theaters. That's okay. My take.
So, you got anything lined up to watch for this week?
I'm watching Shazam.
What's that?
It's a one you're gonna hate. It's a superhero movie.
Okay. Right.
what can I say? I know Jasmine's gonna love it. Your son was probably a super fan. Yeah. She says yes.
Okay.
There you go.
All right then. Well. We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.
All right. And, good luck at the movies.
All the best.
All the best. Andres Clementi with us. And we got time to listen to this one. Taking us to the top of the hour. Remember this? Abraham, Martin, and John.
Has anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where gone? Oh, he freed a lot of people, but it seems a good die young. Yeah, I just looked around and he was gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend John?
looked around and they were gone.
Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
Summertime and I'm caught in the feeling. Getting high and I'm up on the ceiling. I don't know what you're doing in New York. All I know is you ain't on my bed.
The lady's name is Zara Larsson, and she's singing, singing all the time, which is quite that brilliant. Let's say good morning Christopher, Christopher Bowman, good morning you Christopher, says good morning Jerry D, Yasmin and listeners. Since today is the Ides of March, may we please hear Miracle by the band Ides of March.
deep inside my car. I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby, I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I'm your vehicle, woman, by now I'm sure you know that I love you, that I need you, need you. I want you, got to have your child. Great God in heaven, you know I love. You know I love.
Tracks you remember. It's Jerry D and the Breakfast Show.
They sat together in the park. As the evening sky grew dark, she looked at him and he felt a spark tingle to his bones. Just then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone astray. Watch out for a simple twist of fate. They walked along by the old canal, so confused I remember well. Stuff into his strange hotel with the neon burning bright. He felt the heat of the night. It hit him like a freight train moving with a simple twist of fate. The saxophones up as far up the plate. She was walking under the arcade. The light was through a beat of shade, but he was waking up. She dropped a coin to the cup of a blind man at the gate. Forgot about a simple twist of fate. Just
could not relate. Brought on by a simple twist of fate. He hears the ticking of the clock, walks along with a pair of guitars, and sit down by the waterfront dock where the sailors all come in. Maybe she'll pick him out again. Well, how long must he wait? One more time for a simple twist of fate.
There we go, Turnaround, Brian Ferry. Mr. Brian Ferry was the first of those two. And Simple Twist of Fate. And the last one, The Doors. How many of you remember The Doors? Probably only me. And hello, I love you. Breakfast show time, 26 and a half minutes right now. That's after the hour of 9 o'clock. And as I promised earlier on, my guest with me here in the studio right now, it's a big breakfast show. Good morning to Fernando. Fernando Hine, Vice President of Marketing and Communication for BAC Bank. And do you say BAC or do people say BAC? Because BAC is so easy, isn't it?
You know, I struggle with the same question, Jerry. When it's in English, I say BAC, and then I say BAC just in case someone misunderstood.
Right, right.
So okay. you can do BAC or BAC. That's
okay.
Fine.
We know what we mean, don't we?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Hey, innovation seems to be your thing right now. We were talking just as before we came on live, is that you're really sort of making strides forward, especially green is the answer now.
Right.
With a green credit card, which can be turned into compost.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's good.
Yeah. I love the topic of innovation, Jerry, and thank you for having me here. It's because at the very fundamentals of everything, innovation is problem solving, right?
Right.
So right now we have some, we usually talk about innovation on the digital side, and there is a chunk of stuff right. from the stream, sure. and we have a bunch of that too. But there was, I think Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock a couple of years back, and you know, mm-hmm. BlackRock, what? Knows a bit about money, right?
Right.
And he's like, well, sustainability is the new digital in the banking industry.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the innovation that we as a bank are having is towards, you know, the environmental side of innovation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So not only in terms of, you know, consumer-facing products, but also processes
sure.
and internal things that are going to help us, you know, improve our relationship with the environment.
Because there seems to be, you know, we talk about the credit card, but there seems to be anyway right now a lot of sort of banks moving now to, you know, make it easier to pay, like with the Yapi platform and all these different variances and sort of transferring money sort of through the banks. There's a new Express, I think, a new Express payment system which is going on. But where do you see the innovation and the future of banking? I mean, the other day, I went, you know, now we have these touch cards, you just touch them. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. you know, when I was a kid, this would have been magic. I mean, yeah. this was sort of Star Trek type stuff. Where do we go from here?
I think a lot of the innovation side in banking from the consumer point of view is reducing friction.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the big things that we in innovation try to do is we try to reduce the steps on all the hassles that you have to go through to do whatever it is that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
From our side, from the payment side, is, you know, having to take out your, having to remember your wallet, taking it out of the house. You know,
right.
Having to
right.
take it away from your car, having to take the card out of your wallet. And then, you know, uh-huh. there's a bunch of things. If you make a list of things that you have to do to use your card,
mm-hmm.
There's probably like 20, 25 items, you know.
Right.
If I can cut that in half, I can make your experience better,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And making the credit card better itself, you know, it's one thing, but there's a bunch of things in the process all the way from opening the card to reissuing the card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you see a lot of innovation coming from. For example, if you go online, at least on the Apple platform,
mm-hmm.
you can actually use your biometrics, right? If you have one of the latest computers and you use your finger,
mm-hmm.
you don't
mm-hmm.
have to even use, forget about passwords, you don't even have to input your credit card information.
Right.
And it's
right.
there's a lot of technological innovation on the back end, which mm-hmm. makes it all secure.
Mm-hmm.
So I say removing friction throughout the process is one of the big catalysts of innovation in payment.
I mean, it's interesting you mention that because, you know, I've got my laptop and I use my biometrics, my finger to open the computer. And of course, your phone, we're using our fingerprints all the time to open the phone up and to, you know, go onto the banking platforms now. Yeah. And you just made me realize that why can't I do that on my laptop?
Yeah, and there's some innovation that we have this year, but there's some significant innovation throughout the year that are going to make your shopping online experience better.
Mm-hmm. Online shopping.
Yeah.
Cool.
And offline as well.
I'm pretty good at that.
Right? Just so easy.
We want to talk about your biocard, but just talking right. about this, we're talking about, for instance, contactless payments, which is a great thing. But I'm very, very concerned with the security. And funnily enough, I went to pay with something the other day. And the lady there, first she said, I want to see your ID. And she asked me another question or something. And I said, by the way, thank you. And she said, well, I said, because you're about one of the only people that's asked for my ID when I use this card. If my card was stolen, nobody checks the ID. I mean, I love the idea, but could we have a PIN number as well associated with those cards? So it would make somebody, it would be difficult for somebody to just have your card and use it.
You know, there's a bunch. We take security very seriously.
Right.
Seriously. It is at the core of the business, you know, having a trust relationship, especially with your money.
Mm-hmm.
And not only from the regulation side of business, which, trust me, it is a lot, not only local but international, but we take some extra steps. For example, I was just having a conversation last week because through our online banking app, you can actually disable, you know, in seconds, your website. If you, without having to call the bank and them just having to freeze the account, you know, if, let's say you're traveling around here, on the other side of the ocean, and you lost your card, but you think you lost it. You're not sure, right? Maybe you left it back at the hotel room.
Right.
And but if you cancel it, then you have to, you're not going back, so you can get a new card. You just want to freeze it.
Sure.
So you can do that through our app.
So you can literally just freeze any transactions on your account.
You can freeze any transaction for as long as you need to.
And then you could just go back and then start it up again.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
seconds in between. Like
that's a brilliant idea.
Happened to me a couple weeks ago. Like I literally left the house, and I thought, oh my god, I left somewhere else. You know, I was at the mall. Maybe someone's gonna go on a shopping spree, and I just froze it for, must have been, you know, 20 minutes, and then I found it. Of course, it was in the backpack, and then just unfrozen and used it. So
when you do that, that means that no transactions can go through your account at all.
Exactly.
So somebody has got your card, and they're using it in a Texas somewhere in a filling up their car or whatever. They're not going to be able to do it.
They're not going to be able to do it.
I like that idea.
Even if you find it and you don't disable it, you won't be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those are the extra steps that we take towards making sure the relationship with our
consumer. I think that's an absolutely brilliant idea, because I know that feeling when you sort of open it and you don't see, you get this sort of feeling like going over the top of a roller coaster.
There you
know. Oh, gosh, you know, and then you think, and then because you've got to fumble around, try and find a phone number to call the bank or whatever. And I love that idea that you can just push a button, freeze the account. Nobody can use it, including yourself, until...
Yep.
So so the next step then was, you know, if I don't find it, I can contact the bank and say, well, look, I've frozen my account, but I need a new card.
Exactly. And that's going to take days.
Sure.
So if you reissue the card, that takes days.
Yeah.
But if you only froze it, you can unfreeze it immediately. Mm-hmm. So that works. You know, if you actually really did lost it, you mean... Yeah, you got to hook to the process, but most of the times, you know, 1 out of 10 scenarios.
Yeah, but I mean, the feeling of security there, I mean, from my perspective, is excellent. I mean, that's first class. And you can just freeze it when you know you're not going to use your card anyway for a while, and just sort of then when you go back, unfreeze it and make your transaction.
Maybe if you go to the bar, have a couple of free drinks, too much drinks, and then you want to block it yourself.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
You can curb your shopping spree online through the app. That, you know, I hadn't thought about that use.
Yeah.
I'll write it down.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, your new card, which you're going now, this is a bio card. Yes. So it's going to save a lot of plastic waste. Tell us about that. You know, firstly, what made the bank come up with the idea?
Yeah, that's a great start to the conversation. I remember it was maybe 18 months ago when we as a bank were thinking, we are the leading financial services company in the region, in Central America and Panama. And we're thinking, no, we're two next. So we had all the country managers and all the C-suite, and we're thinking, we decided we want to reimagine banking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it sounds very Disney, that word, and in a good way, right? Because we want to fundamentally step change all the things in the industry, which is maybe notorious for being very status quo, very, very slow and everything.
So, really?
Yeah. Well, so we want to be the change, Jerry.
Right.
So, first, making a statement, you know, and I guess internalizing the role that we are not, you know, the fast-moving consumer goods companies of the world, the, you know, the big tech, but we want to reimagine, because we have a very close relationship with everyone, you know?
Right.
Well, economic growth is, you know, fundamental part of the society that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
So reimagining banking, again, we have these conversations, and we redefine our purpose.
Right.
Yeah, reimagining banking. After that, how do we reimagine banking? No, all the easy part is done, you know, declaring it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this strategy, and it's based on a book by Paul Polman. He's the ex-CEO of Unilever. And he has this statement called net positive. Have you ever heard of net positive?
No.
Basically, in layman terms, it's saying that if BAC, BAC, were to disappear tomorrow, you know, the world would be worse than it used to be before. So there's net zero.
Mm-hmm.
Which, but who wants to, you know, who goes out to a soccer game and wants to tie. We want to win the game. We want to make sure that we leave something positive. And it's very complicated because there's three prongs to it. You know, the social aspect of it, the environmental, which most of the people know, or sustainability is very known for it. And there's the economic side, which is closer to our business. So we lay out a 12-point plan across these three prongs, and we can quantifiably demonstrate that we are net positive. And it's our journey to become the first net positive bank in the world by 2035. So nothing sort of ambitious, but a lot of hard work is going to, it is actually going through. It's only been a year since we declare that, and we made some giant strides, the launch of the buyer card being one of those. But there's everything all the way from measuring our CO2 emissions and covering them. That's the basics. But ambitions such as eliminating poverty across our 1,900 employees that we have in the region, you know, because we were having this conversation, we want to generate prosperity for the communities where we operate in, right? But what about the people that work for us? Let's start with that. So again, it's a very rational plan. And from the economic side, you know, we have this conversation regarding being radically transparent. We want to make sure that our consumers, especially in the payment industry, credit card, they trust us, you know. Bag charged me what they told me that it was going to be on my statement. And there's a lot of simplification of terms and conditions, you know. So a lot of things. I won't go into the deep end of everything, but that's where it started. Redefining our purpose, setting our strategy, laying out a 10-year plan. And Bio is one of those executions.
Okay. Just to, while we're on that topic, let me sort of, because we're talking about people that have accounts that are, you know, making payments or whatever. But the biggest obstacle for the layman or whatever with banks is opening an account. Can't that be made easier? Because it is so difficult in Panama. You can go to Miami, open an account in 30 minutes. Come to Panama, it'll take you 30 days, 60 days to open an account. Why can't that be made easier here?
I think there are some opportunities as a country that we have to innovate. We do work very closely with our regulator, you know, the Superintendencia, to make sure that we cross all the T's and dot all the I's in terms of, again, being secured. There is a reputation that Panama, we've been struggling to come out of,
The list, gray list, the black list, et cetera, et cetera.
And the faster we get out of that, the faster it's going to be for us to enhance innovation. But today, in terms of the environment that we have and we have to work with, is we just launched you can open your account, we call it the tarjeta cuenta digital, 100% digital, that you can open it through your phone. Again, I do understand that you do have to be a Panamanian citizen, but if you have a cedula, you can open the account on your phone right before this interview is over. And
phone's here somewhere.
Are you banking with us, Jerry?
Not yet.
We could change that, you know. But yeah, the beginning of the relationship of a person with the bank starts with the account, you know, with the savings account. And today, we launched this last year. You can open it in seconds.
Interesting. But, yeah. Interesting. I'm inclined to go off at tangents. But the card.
Yeah.
The new card, which you showed me, is it? It looks very similar. Feely, touchy, but biodegradable.
Yes.
So how exactly does that work, Fernando?
Okay, so let me see if I could lay it out in terms that are easy to, because it took me a while to understand as well again. First, start with a story, right? So when we were presenting this idea to the CEO, we were having this conversation here on set before we started it. You know what? Align with our purpose, align with our strategy, we're going to launch a card that it's going to become part of the environment in a non-hazardous way in 90 days. And the CEO goes crazy. He's like, so you're telling me that I have 350,000 customers in Panama, I'm going to have to issue every 90 days 350,000 cards? You're crazy. You know, a lot of people almost lost their job that day. But thankfully, once we explained it to him, we told him that no, it's not that. It's the lifetime of the card is going to be the same one as the plastic card you have on your wallet, 4 to 5 years, which is probably going to that's going to be after your expiration date, so you have to get a new one, right?
Sure.
But coming back to this, to the card, is 85% of the card is made from non-edible corn. And we say non-edible because we don't have this issue in Panama, but other countries in the region, you know, they struggle in terms of food scarcity. So we don't want people to think that, you know what, you're using someone else's corn for the card. No, it's non-edible corn.
Okay. You know,
so that's that making sure is important, right? And the other 15% are the elements of the cars that are actually technological elements that you need to work.
Sure.
You know, the if anyone else is looking at this card right now, you know, you have the metal elements to the chip for that to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then some copper items that you don't see through the card. And then the plastic covering to make sure that, you know, you don't spill any coffee. And then you have to go to the bank and get a new card. So the innovation side of things is that we're going to, first of all, be the first bank in the region to have a bio card.
Right.
So the construction of the card, we're first in the region. We're going to be the first in the world to actually make sure that it's composted. So, you know, it's circular economy.
Right.
We have a local partner that actually works with a lot of big companies, but it's a Panamanian startup, which is also giving back to society. And they're going to make sure that the plastic gets reused and the metal is recycled. So it's 100% compostable card.
So in actual fact, the plastic aspect of it, you could eventually be getting back and making new cards from it.
There you go. And that goes back to the circular economy side of business. So, yeah, it's the first card we're launching.
Mm-hmm.
First, we began with a statement, you know. Then we began with the first card.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the work starts, you know, to having the whole portfolio of cards go to this, right?
Because
right now, you can get the Smart Cash, which is you can get up to 5% back on your groceries.
Right.
So that you can do today. But if you want your loyalty programs in terms of points and in terms of miles, it's going to take a little while.
Sure.
But that's the way we're headed.
Yeah. I think that's excellent. What I think I've got a new slogan for you.
Go ahead.
There's probably no new. Back to the future.
Oh.
Oh, I think somebody's already used it. But
I'm writing it down for those of you that are not looking.
If I ever hear it, by the way, 10%. I think the innovation is good. I mean, the thing is, banking is not as easy as it used to be. I mean, funnily enough, I remember when I was 16, my father took me to Barclays Bank in England and to open an account. And you were treated like a shareholder.
Right.
You were treated as a customer and you were important and they, you know, bend over when you, and in those days you've got good interest rates. We're going in that direction again, I see. But that is just, it's so different now. I mean, I sometimes say it looks like the world has gone, you know, put in plain English, ask about tit, because if I go to the bank and I want to open an account and I got $150,000 I want to put in the bank to open my account, why am I not the one asking the questions of the bank? I want to know how many creditors you've got. I want to know who your biggest debtor is. I want to know, especially these days, I mean, we've just seen what's happened in the banking world. But we're not. We're the ones that are having to jump. Where did you get the money from? Well, it's my money, I think. But where did you get it from? You know, do you see where I'm going with this? We no longer feel welcome. In banks.
I think that some of the word is changes, you know, it's not like it used to before and certainly won't be in the future like it is now.
Yeah.
So what we, especially in marketing, and it goes to the core of what we do, is making sure that we understand consumer needs.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding there's a bunch of different consumers, right? And I want to take it back a little bit, you know, to the best way to explain this is in how you communicate with them, right? So there are people that love going to our, you know, to our banking locations. We have more than 30 at the national. People love it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they know these security guys on the entrance. They know the clerks' names. Mm-hmm. And they love it. Mm-hmm. And my job is not to change that. If they love it, we make sure that they enjoy that relationship. There's people that are they want to look at our financial statements. Actually, they were released today.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go online. You can look them up. And people do quite a bit.
Sure.
You know?
Okay,
but there's people that, you know, they just, they don't want to deal with the actual physical location. They want to do everything from their phone.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we cater also to those needs. So we are in the business of understanding consumer needs and meeting them.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that we have enough attention to everyone across the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And as a banking institution, we not only do consumer side, we also do private banking. We do we have a lot of relationship with small businesses as well. We have more than 25,000 businesses that we work with, so you know, the owners, you know, they also want to have access to their money and they want to have it quick. They want to make sure it's secure. They need to do payroll. So I think I think the word I describe is that banking has become more complicated because the needs of the consumer as a whole mm-hmm. are more complicated.
And it's not just that, Fernando. For instance, if you're accounting in a company, if you're on that side of the business,
oh, yeah.
I would say, well, you spend so much of your time working for the bank, and you spend the other half of the time working for the government,
right?
And very little time working for the company, and nobody gets compensated for it.
Yeah.
But it's a fact of life. Let me just ask you another question, if I may, about because you know we accept these days everybody needs a bank account, okay? Even people in Panama, they're paid into an account, they have a card, they can get the card, their money out, so they have an account. And yet the bank has the right to just close somebody's account without having to give any reason. And then that person is left in the middle of nowhere with no bank account and then trying to open another bank account. Do you believe that is right, or do you believe the bank should not be able to close somebody's account without due course? In other words, if somebody's being investigated for money laundering or whatever, then it's up to the bank to say, well, we don't want your business, and that's it. But for the ordinary Joe blog, it's basically saying, well, we don't want your business because we're not making enough money.
No, I would say that we do believe in two things. We believe in we were having this conversation at the beginning of mm-hmm. the interview mm-hmm. is we want to make sure that consumers trust us. And playing with regulators and making sure that everything is by the books, regardless of who wrote them, is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing that. But we also, from our side, because we can't just point finger towards somewhere else, is making sure that we are very transparent with you.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not able to tell you to answer directly why I did something, we want to be the first one to tell you, you know what, this is what we had to do. This is how we can get around it.
Mm-hmm.
And just have a very honest relationship. And it is a big shift in how we have relationships with consumers, being very transparent. And again, I want to circle back
mm-hmm.
to the payment industry, because we
sure.
have a lot of
mm-hmm.
of users with credit cards. You know, they're like, what's my APR? You know, what's my annual fee?
Mm-hmm.
And historically, we were not the best ones at that. But mm-hmm. today, again, not only declared, but we are working and delivering short-term improvements to making sure that consumers know that we're telling them the truth and trust us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't solve an issue for them, they're going to hear from us.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's about being radically transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So where we could be, and if we are not being in one side of the business world, we'll take the heat and just
mm-hmm.
work towards
mm-hmm.
it. So it's part of every business.
How many branches do you have in Panama?
34 branches.
34?
Yeah. But even though we have a relative good footprint locally, we do know that our unique value proposition in the digital side is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's here and that doesn't have a bank account, I do recommend that you open one and just download the app, and you can see the bunch of things that you can do through it, right? It feels like you're back to the future a little bit, right? And
mm-hmm.
a bunch of features, and we struggle to communicate this, to be honest with you, Jerry. You know that as a company, you don't have to go to the bank to pay for a credit card. We have this system called RapiBack, RapiBack,
mm-hmm.
and we have more than 500 locations across the country. And you can find them through hardware stores and through mini supers. And it's basically, mm-hmm. it looks like a point of sale, right?
Okay.
And you tell the clerk at the hardware store, mm-hmm. I want to pay for my back credit card. And he's going to pull it up. And you give him your, it could be, you know, cash, or it could
mm-hmm.
be credit card or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to pay through it. You have to go to the bank. And that's innovation, because you don't have to go, if you don't have, or you don't like going to a particular location, you can
mm-hmm.
go to the hardware store, you know, when you're shopping for gardening
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. items. But we also have this platform of ATMs. They're called ATM Full,
mm-hmm.
like in English, Full.
Mm-hmm.
And you can withdraw money without having your debit card.
Okay, really?
We're going
really?
Back to the experience
yeah,
of leaving
no, no.
your wallet in the house, right?
Yes.
You're like, what? You know what? I need $20. I need $5 for the parking valet or whatever. And then if
would,
you have
would
one,
you be able to do that if you're overseas?
No, because the platform is built on our network.
Own. Okay.
So the innovation is very regional at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
But yeah,
what
again,
a brilliant
you,
idea.
Yeah, and
yeah.
and it's very secure as well. Going back
mm-hmm.
to the security thing of
mm-hmm.
business, you open up the app, and then you say how much you want to withdraw, and your account number,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you a secret PIN. And you go to the ATM machine, you
okay.
input all those three numbers.
And it gives you the payment.
It's beautiful. It's lovely. And trust me, I am very skeptical of the services that we offer. And I tried it first, and it worked. And I'm
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I'm a believer in it. Hey, now, because now, if you want to have a credit card, it's not going to be plastic. It's going to be, you know, bio.
Okay.
But you shouldn't have it. You should have it in your cell phone. And you know what? You don't even need a debit card if you want to withdraw cash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So eliminating plastic is not, changing plastic to non-edible corn, it's not the only thing. It's just eliminating the need to have a physical card.
Sure. No, absolutely.
And it's not because we want to, it's because it's good for the environment, but it's also going to be more practical for all the parties involved.
Do you see the day coming, Fernando, where our biometrics will be the way that we withdraw money? I mean, we talk about fingerprints and how we use them on our phone and that. But, you know, could you see the day when you go to the supermarket and you buy your goods and you just use your fingerprint to make a payment?
Now
or even the card that puts the information and then your biometrics.
Now we're going to the futurology part of the
conversation. Of course we are.
Right?
I told you, back to the future.
We were having our annual strategic meeting a month ago, and there was Pascal Finette. He's an ex-Googler, and he specializes in futurology, right?
Uh-huh.
And he has said this phrase that stuck with me. It's called that you need to listen to the thin wisps of change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, because if you see something that changes a few amount of people's lives, then it's only a matter of time until a lot of people benefit by that.
Mm-hmm,
and he explains it in a way that, I'm getting very poetic, I know, Jerry. And it says that changes happen gradually, then suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that, if you see a particular technology being adopted quickly, it's only a matter of time until not the banks or the institution need to do something about it, but the consumer's going to request it.
Sure. So,
because at the end, going back to the explanation of innovation, it's not what I want to do. It's what I need to do because my consumer is actually begging for it and has been for a while. So back to your question is, if there's a large enough request, the people that are saying, you know what, I don't even want to do my finger, I want to do my face.
Okay.
The system is going to move towards that.
Sure.
And the companies that want to jump on the bandwagon are going to do it and are going to benefit from that. And the ones that don't are going to be, you know, a little bit left behind. But again, based on consumer needs, not on companies' needs, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Does that make any sense, sir?
We're just about out of time. Tell me something, because the how new is the bio card? Is that sort of now what you give everybody?
The bio card has been out for less than a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we were actually the first country in the region to launch it, which makes us the first country in the world, and as a Panamanian, that makes me very proud.
Sure.
And there's a lot of excitement being generated. You know, the last country to launch it at the group was Guatemala, and that was last week. Again, I do want to make sure that everyone knows that it is a fantastic product, and not only the card, but just being part of the back digital and credit card ecosystem will make your life easier.
And make the world a better place.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
And if somebody says, "Oh, yeah, that's a good idea," can they go and change that plastic one for a biodegradable one?
Yes, they can do that.
There you go. There you are. See, you can all be part of it.
This is where I should be like, you know, click the link below, and then you can apply for a credit card.
I can put that on our website. Don't worry about that.
I'll send it to you, Jerry.
Fernando has been brilliant, and congratulations to BAC for taking the initiative. And as you say, you know, now you're going to have all the other banks thinking about having to do the same thing.
And that makes us happy.
Cool.
The end of the world, you know, our intention is not to be the only ones that are in this, but being the leading ones on
Absolutely.
It. So I want to invite everyone else to get your bio card as well.
There we go. You see, what do we say? Back to the future.
There you go.
There we go. Fernando, thanks. I hope we'll see you again.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
It's a very important part of our lives, banking. And a lot of it is perhaps, a lot of our frustrations are perhaps due to misconceptions. So, Fernando, from BAC Bank, and I say, if you like the idea of getting one of those cards, do get in touch with them. Fernando Hine, Vice President of Marketing and Communications from BAC Bank. And that's it. That's brought me to the end of this morning's program. So big thanks once again to Fernando. And also to Andreas this morning for this week's movie review. To Yasmin here in the Breakfast Show studio doing all our production work, social media, etc., etc. And also to Ingrid, our intrepid outdoor reporter, reporting in from 154th floor of a building. So there we go. And to my co-producer, Neil Danby, back over there in the UK right now in Windsor, and to the boys and girls of Group of Grand, who keep us up and running, and to you, our listeners, advertisers, sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on The Breakfast Show, 89.3 Cool FM. I'll be back with you 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. And what do I say? Whatever it is you're going to be doing, please, please, please do it carefully. Want to be talking to you tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock? Not about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-da. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D. Produced by Yasmin Kiros. Co-producer, Neil Danby.